Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
It's over. The Magic season is over, and we're here to talk about it today. Welcome into Sports Daily, everybody. It is a Friday. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester with you for now. Jad Chambers producing. It's going to be a wide cast of characters on this Friday. We've got Adam Hadwin, Jessica Hadwin coming in bottom of the hour to talk to us about a charity event they have. We'll talk to Adam about his PGA Tour. Now, Wichitans. So we'll have that. We'll have a little football. We'll have a lot of football for you today. We'll make our picks, talk college football weekend, talk the NFL football weekend. We'll bring in Paul Savage, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner for our picks in the second hour. Right now, though, that IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. You can also get in touch with us on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course, 12 News Connected. Royals fans, if you want to vent today, we'll give you that opportunity. You can also vent through voice message through the Odyssey app. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, always a great way to take us with you wherever you are. There's a little microphone on there. You can record a message, send it. Jad gets those, and we can play those out over the air. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Friday. I know we've got a really busy show today, a lot of different features to get to on the program. Of course, I know we're going to lead with the Royals, talk about the game last night, talk about what the future might hold for Kansas City. But I'm excited to get into the weekend, excited to be here today, and looking forward to jumping right into it.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer. I loved everything about last night's game except the outcome, right? That felt like playoff baseball. You don't typically get benches clearing in playoff baseball, which makes it even better. I had no issue with any of that, by the way. That was Isbell almost doing what he almost never does, getting that home run. God, in any other ballpark, right? It's just like, oh, man. It was high drama. You had Gerrit Cole looking like Gerrit Cole. I thought a couple of times they were going to get it done, and they don't, and the season's over. What a ride. I always say how much I love postseason baseball, but the agony of the exit of postseason baseball is pretty brutal. Pretty brutal, especially when you invest as much as you did in a team like we did with the Royals this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's really easy to get caught up in the outcome last night and to think about, man, what could have been, and just the way that this team had galvanized and rallied around each other all season long. When it was a roller coaster year up and down, and the highs were really high and the lows were really low, and think about, man, they were just a couple of steps away from another World Series. And so that it's really easy to get into the what if type scenario and thinking and mentality and mindset after a game like last night and after a series like what the Royals had. But look, that's not where I'm at this morning. I mean, I thought about that for a little bit. I let myself get into that mindset for just a brief period of time. And now I'm really excited. I'm really pumped about what the future holds for this Royals team.
And that's what we'll talk about that here as we make our way through it. We'll do that in our second segment. But I just, the only thing where you could maybe think about the what if is the out call at second in game one. You know, that's the only one that sort of lingers with you. But, you know, the Yankees are a really good team. I thought the Royals' game plan for them was really good. They largely suppressed that offense, which is impressive. But the bats that sort of failed them down the stretch kind of failed them in the postseason. They never did get it going offensively. And that's okay. They didn't have a lot there that was, you know, they had a stretch where they were scoring runs, but it was always like, well, maybe this is a good offensive team, you know? So that's the place to attack in the offseason. Again, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but it was a great year. I think you feel good. It re-energizes the fan base, and it was a fulfilling series, even though everyone hates the Yankees. You had the drama of Jazz Chisholm, who was talking all series long, and it was a really fun playoff series. I'm with Paul Savage, who begs for these to be seven game series. When you get to this point, this would have been a really fun seven game series.
I don't know if it would have been. I mean, as far as like, yeah, the entertainment value, as far as like the benches clearing and, you know, all of that, I think the Yankees, you know, had it even been a 7-game series, probably would have come out on Saturday and won the game. I mean, they probably would have won the series 4-1 with the way that the Royals had been playing. And that's not a knock on Kansas City. It's just the reality. Like, let's be real about the situation. The pitching for New York was phenomenal all series long. The Royals' bats weren't really getting anything done. That's been an ongoing issue for the last month plus for Kansas City. It's just, it is what it is. So sure, for an entertainment value, for the fact that you had Jazz Chisholm talking and that drama, you had Mikel Garcia and the slide in last night, the benches clearing, all of that, sure, it would have made for high drama. But as far as baseball, I mean, let's be real. The Yankees were the better team in this series. They just were. That's okay. That's fine.
But they were razor thin. I mean, the margins were razor thin in that series. Like, it's not like the Royals got pushed around. You had the out call at second in game one. Everything else was within a couple of runs.
The pitching pushed them around. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. When they were down 2-0 last night, my first thought was, man, that could easily just have been 10-0. You know, it just seemed as insurmountable as a 10-0 deficit for Kansas City.
You know when the last time the Royals won a game at home was?
Sometime in September.
September 8th.
Yeah.
That's the other part that sticks with you. They have not been able to win games at the K down the stretch. And it bled into the postseason. I think it's a 9-game losing streak at home.
Like, let's not sit here and think that, like, the Royals really had, like, this significant chance to come back and win the series. Like, even had it gone to 7 games, even if it was a 7-game series, they would have been down 3-1. They would have needed to win 3 games in a row against the Yankees. That's unlikely, right?
It would have been unlikely, but I still would have liked to see it. I still would have liked Reagan's to make it 3-2 and then, you know, all those things, but it's okay. Like, it wasn't, the Royals were not like totally overrun, and trust me, I've seen series against the Yankees over the years where teams were that. The Royals weren't that, and I think that's the optimism today. The other reality is, like, it's disappointing and it stings still today. I mean, there's no doubt, and it's going to for a little while. But I think the focus is how much of this carries over. And for me, when I think about the Royals, I think about the misery of the last 9 years before this year, like. Can we just feel like that's not coming, right? Is this sustainable? And I think with Bobby Witt Jr., the short answer is absolutely it is, but it's more than that. It's Salvador Perez finding a power surge late in his career and being able to extend his career probably longer than people thought. It's Vinny Pasquantino, before the injury, finding it this year and becoming the player the Royals hoped he would become and the best version of himself, like Freddie Freeman light. With Vinny Pasquantino. So, you know, there are all of these things that you can look at and be hopeful about, but the front office and the ownership is going to have to back that up. I hope that what this season did was give them the ammunition and the confidence to do that. They're still trying to build a new stadium. This is still a pivotal time in the franchise of Kansas City baseball, because there's a lot happening that's not just this team this year on the field and what it's meant. Of course, that's nice. They haven't won in a long time. How much of that, though, impacts the larger future of the team? I would say a lot, like a whole lot. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They've still got to push the right buttons. But I think this year could be, if you look back 50 years from now and Kansas City baseball is doing its thing, this will have been such a crucial year for it. Imagine the alternative. Imagine another year of toiling in the mud. You know what I mean? Like, then what, right? So I love it. It was such a fun team this year. It was a flawed team, but it was a team that, you know, got the best of itself and was toe-to-toe in the postseason, just like we thought they could be a month into the year.
Yeah, and I think to your point, as far as feeling a sense of optimism for the future, I'm right there. And I think that it's a meaningful optimism because John Sherman put his money where his mouth was a year ago. You know, that they drew that organization, Sherman and Piccolo, drew a line in the sand in the offseason last year and said, this is not acceptable. We're not willing to just continue to languish. with this organization. So we're going to go out and we're going to do what we need to do to put the pieces together to be a competitive ball club. And they did that. They did that on the open market, and they brought in guys like Lugo and Waka. They were aggressive at the trade deadline. They were aggressive even on the waiver wire the final month of the season. Like, they never stopped toiling with this team and tinkering and figuring out what kinds of combinations they could do to lead to the most success possible. That, to me, doesn't strike me as a flash in the pan, like a catching lightning in the bottle one time, and then we'll just go back to the way that we've always done it. We're not going to spend on free agents. We're not going to invest in this team, in this organization. We're not going to try to make the farm system better. We're not going to try to draft well. We're not going to try to sign guys in free agency. We're not going to try to make trades to improve at positions and in the rotation and the bullpen. I think that what they did, not only this past offseason, but also throughout the year in trying to remain competitive, I think that's a sign of things to come. I think it shows that this team is willing to be willing to be aggressive as they can be. And remember a year ago, and I'm sure we'll have this conversation many times during the offseason. Remember a year ago, and even longer than that, when there was this big push by John Sherman to talk about a new stadium in the midst of the Royals losing big time. And we're like, dude, shut up. Like, nobody cares about this. The team is terrible. Do something about the team before you start talking about a new stadium. He did something about the team. He absolutely did. He deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. He hasn't gotten enough. We know that Piccolo's made a lot of brilliant moves. Can't do that if you don't have the ability to spend any money. You just can't. And Sherman has absolutely backed up what he said, deserves a ton of credit for it, and it's probably going to get him a new stadium one way or the other. So credit to him. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'll tell you why I think this is sustainable, and we've talked about this before, but I'll give you a few more examples of why, you know, be on notice, American League. I don't think this team is going anywhere anytime soon. We'll talk about that. The early look at what they can do this offseason to ensure that happens. We'll have that. Your comments on the game. Before we go and on the way out, let's get a Royals message here from one of our great Royals fans all year long, Ken.
Good morning, fellas. Agree with Jacob. It was a great game last night, except for the result. My only comment, in addition, is that it's 110 days till pitchers and catchers report.
I like it. I like that attitude, Ken. You know, all but, you know, five teams have the same attitude. I don't know that we would have said that on October 11th of last year. Can't wait for pitchers and catchers, right? we were on to the Chiefs at that point. We're talking Royals in October. It's been fantastic. How do they keep it going? That's what we'll hit next. Man, we hope you've had fun with the Royals like we have. Let's set up one of our giveaways here. Let's give away some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. Back the home opener against Kansas City, Friday, October 18th, a week from today. We want to hook you up with some tickets. To enter, just text the word THUNDER to the number 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets from KFH. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Royals talk next. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Speaking of Crestview Country Club, where Adam Hadwin used to play at the Wichita Open. Might have been the AirCap Classic when he was playing in it. But Adam Hadwin will be on with us in our next segment. He and his wife to talk about a big event they have coming up here in not too long, a couple weeks. We can change. But Crestview's got 36 holes of golf. We tell you about the food all the time. Fridays are a great day to get out there. Have a cocktail, do whatever you want to do, a happy hour, get out there, check out the facilities, tell them we sent you at Sports Daily. All right, moving forward, Tommy, we've talked about it. I think it's sustainable. I think with Bobby Witt Jr. on a 13-year contract, Vinny Pasquantino's far from free agency, far enough, and Salvador Perez, I believe, will have a long career still. I think that he has a chance to be just a longtime DH for the Royals. Vinny Pasquantino is he hasn't even hit arbitration yet, just for instance. Neither has Cole Reagans. So if you look at those two of the cornerstone pieces, which of course we do, they're not even to arbitration. Brady Singer is not a free agent until 2027. Michael Wacha is not a free agent until 2026. Seth Lugo is not a free agent until 2027. Those contracts this offseason, which all year we talked about how frugal that was, and they've got this great pitching on it. Those were not one-year deals. Lugo has a player option before, but they will be able to bring all of those same players back on basically the same deal. Gets even more affordable, I'm sure, when we see what the market is for pitching in the offseason, Tommy. And so when you get to start there, when you get to start with basically four out of your five starters, and Marsh could make five, you start there, you've done your bullpen work at the trade deadline. Hunter Harvey was not a rental. Lucas Ersig was not a rental, I don't think. I need to look at Lucas Ersig's contract real quick. But that those moves that were made, Tommy, were not rentals either. And so, Ersig's not even to arbitration either. It took him a while to get to the big league. So their bullpen is largely in place. Their starting rotation is in place. The biggest bats in your lineup are set. The Royals get to attack this offseason to go find the most affordable things you can find in a baseball offseason. Bats. And they don't need to go make a big splash. I don't think they do, Tom. I don't know if you agree. They do need to go make a couple of moves. They probably need to get an outfielder at minimum, right? And then maybe a couple more veterans in there. But this thing looks like it's going to carry right over to me.
Yeah, they had, you know, some patchwork players for sure, especially down the stretch because of injuries in that lineup. I mean, looking at guys like Gurriel and Tommy Pham and, you know, other guys like that.
I don't think those old guys are coming
back.
Yeah,
you probably need to shore that up a little bit. And in fact, a lot of the impending free agents for this team are those veterans. You add in like Will Smith, he's a veteran. Robbie Grossman is a veteran. They're both free agents, you know, going into the offseason. I think you've got to make a decision. Is there any desire to bring Michael Lorenzen back? He's going to be a free agent in the offseason. I don't know about that. I mean, I wonder if, and I kind of agree with you as far as like a big splash, but I think figuring out maybe the fifth spot in the rotation, the four main guys are solidified going into next year. But do you go and try to sign a free agent pitcher?
I don't think
so. Is it Daniel Lynch potentially that you roll with? Alec Marsh, do you try him again as the fifth starter? Do you go internal or do you try to figure out, you know, maybe somebody in the free agent market? But I do think that focusing a lot of your energy in the free agent market on depth in the lineup, I think is going to be extremely important. Especially you mentioned the outfield. I think that's the case. I kind of like overall the way that their infield is set up right now. I'm a fan of that for the most part. I mean, I like Massey. I like Pasquantino, obviously Bobby Witt Jr. You might maybe want to look at something at third base, although Michael Garcia, I think, was up and down this season. So I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with overall their infield. I do think if they're going to try to get some bats, they're going to need to look in the outfield.
I am perfectly okay upgrading at second or third. Either one would be
fine. I know
fine.
You're not high on Michael Massey. I love Michael Massey.
No. I love Michael Massey. Michael Massey is awesome, has been awesome, always been a fan. But if there's an opportunity, then you can use Michael Massey somewhere besides second base. What I'm saying is, like, just if you've got an opportunity to get a second baseman that makes your offense better, don't let Michael Massey scare you. Utilize him somewhere else. He can play another position, right? Same thing at third base. Don't let having Michael Garcia stop you from upgrading the offense. That would be my attack to the offseason, because it's not like those guys aren't useful if you bring somebody else in. You just approach it. Some of the great teams over the years, and I think of the Rays, like you watch them and watch their games enough, and like they deploy different lineups every day. They've got guys that are in. Maybe these guys aren't playing. Kind of like a good example is the way the Royals used MJ Melendez this year. Honestly, like more of that. You know, situational. Quatraro has shown his chops this year at being able to tinker and do those things. You've got to find a leadoff hitter. That would be top priority for me, wherever that is. Don't care the position. Find somebody that can get on base ahead of your guys. And that would be my top priority, would be leadoff hitter, especially if Bobby Witt Jr. is totally opposed to being a leadoff hitter. which he was this year, maybe that continues, then that would be my top priority. But it's the thing about the team is, and the point of this is, and then we'll take a break and we'll bring on the Hadwins. I don't know that anything that we saw this year isn't something you would be optimistic carries right over into next year. The only thing I could think of is that if you starting pitching takes a step back, I just don't know why we would think that about any of these guys. They're
Lugo and Waka get a year older, so you do have to take that into consideration. Lugo pitched more innings than he ever has in the season. So, I mean, I do think that that could potentially be on the table. I think you need depth. You need depth in the lineup. I think you need depth in the rotation. But other than that, I feel extremely optimistic about the Royals next season.
Remember this about Lugo. Final thing for me. He's gotten better basically every year he's been allowed to be a starter. So every time he's been a starter, he's gotten better. I honestly think there is still more upside to Seth Lugo as a starting pitcher. He was fatigued this year. Now he knows he can do it. Next year, hopefully that fatigue doesn't set in as much, and he's more like he was first half of the year, Seth Lugo, for longer. I think his arrow's pointed up. I know he's older, but he hadn't been a starter for that long. His path is strange. So I'm super optimistic on the Royals. Futures bets now because I think they could get back. Man, I just realized I lost my bet, Tommy. I didn't even see what the cash out option was going into that series. I wouldn't have taken it anyway. All right, let's take a break. We're going to bring the Hadwin family in here, Adam Hadwin and his lovely wife. We're going to tell us about an event they have coming up. We'll catch up with Adam and in his year on tour, which I guess they're already golfing again, aren't they, Tommy? It's that golf season sneaks up on me too. We'll do that next. It's Sports Daily. We have football picks coming in hour number two. We'll give away some HTO in hour number two, and we'll get back to your calls and comments. Don't go away. We're back right after this.
Over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Jad Chambers producing. Working on getting connected with Adam and Jessica Hadwin, so bear with us on that as we get that sorted out. I do want to thank Prairie Fire Coffee for a great cup of coffee each and every morning here at KFH. Always love that. And tell you that, you can catch us anytime in the present or in the future. If you download the Odyssey app and just search Sports Daily, search KFH, you can find the show. We put that out in podcasted form each and every time here on the program. So now that those things are out of the way, let's introduce Adam and Jessica Hadwin. I think we have you guys both here. How are you this morning? Welcome to Sports Daily. Adam and Jessica, do we have you? All right, we'll keep working on that connection there.
Can you guys?
Now we got it. Can you hear me? I think it's a service issue. So we'll try to reconnect. We'll try to find a better connection there and get that to you. Tommy, while we do that, why don't you set up the event that we have coming up for the Hadwin family, what it's all about and where it's at.
Yeah, it's called Tees for Tots. The Hadwin Family Foundation is a great organization here in town. And the event is coming up on October 27th. The whole event is to benefit their foundation that they've got basically supporting couples and families dealing with infertility, going through IVF, all of that to grow their family. And so it's going to be a fun event at Topgolf here in Wichita on October 27th. I know that they are, I know they're calling in, and so we're going to be connecting with them here shortly.
Yeah, so we'll get that connection, and that's a cool event, and I know one that it's been a really cool connection for you, Tommy, as you've, as you've gone through those things. You've been very open about that here on the family, but I believe we have the Hadwins now via the IHOP hotline. So Adam and Jessica, can you hear us now?
Yes, we can. Sorry about
that.
There
you go. How are you guys? No big deal. This happens all the time. All right. So let's start with the event. We'll flip it upside down, and then Adam will talk to you a little bit about about the career and you guys' life in Wichita now, but Tommy just set up the event. Just give folks, you know, sort of an idea of why this is an event that exists now and why you guys are so passionate about it.
Yeah, so we have had our foundation up and running for about 4 years now and have been splitting time between Arizona and Kansas. I'm born and raised here, and we've been in Arizona quite a bit for Adam's career because, you know, perfect golf there. So we just recently decided to make a permanent move back to Wichita. Our daughter is going to be starting school and thought we should slow down on the nomad life for her. So we wanted to see how we could incorporate our foundation and fundraising and our events into the Wichita community easier and allow for more people to be involved. So last year we had our first Tees for Tot event at Topgolf. It was a ton of fun. More families and kids were able to come out. We were able to host the first Tee Kids to join us for the event. So we just wanted to do something more locally. And then specifically the reason behind Tees for Tots is to try to help families going through infertility or other roadblocks in their family building to grow their family. Adam and I had to go through IVF. We spent years battling the infertility journey that I know so many have, including Tommy and other people we've got to know here. So although it's maybe a smaller area that people don't think about, we wanted to do something where we can help support those families battling infertility. And through our fundraising, including Tees for Tots, we've actually had two babies born out of our IVF grant from funds raised at these events. So that's kind of the why and the what, and we're happy to be able to do it.
Jessica, let's talk a little bit about the way that the foundation has grown over the years. And just, I know that obviously, you know, splitting time between Arizona and Kansas, now obviously, you know, you guys are permanently here in the Wichita area, but being able to take the foundation from the very beginning stages, growing it to now, I mean, you guys have been able to work with, you know, several different hospitals and different doctors and clinics and things like that to really grow the mission and be able to help multiple families. What has that been like for both of you to be able to watch this foundation grow from the beginning all the way to now?
Yeah, it's been super rewarding, and to see your efforts at fundraising and, you know, gathering the public support go all the way into a baby that's born. In fact, our first family that had a baby through the Maddie's Miracle Grant is flying in from Arizona to attend the Tees for Tots event here at Topgolf. So I think that's particularly special. But when we started out, we had one IVF grant a year at the clinic that Adam and I went to for IVF in Arizona. And we now have that grant in Arizona. We are starting a grant here in Wichita at the only IVF clinic in town, the Center for Reproductive Medicine. We have a genetic testing fund with KU Wichita Pediatrics. We're going on our third year now of annual support. And then outside of that, we have been able to support the Kansas Children's Foundation, the Ronald McDonald House. We've done Christmas baskets for the Wesley Children's Hospital. So, yeah, it started out really small and maybe is still on the smaller side, but definitely is having an impact specifically here in Kansas now as it grows.
Jessica and Adam Hadwin joining us. You can follow both of them on X. Jessica's messing with Adam a lot, which I appreciate. I think we all do. Adam, you're back here in Wichita. Now, you guys, Jessica, you mentioned you're from here. Adam, you're not. You're a Canuck right up there from Canada. So tell us that, like, how did you end up here and how did you guys meet?
Yeah, I am a long way from home at this point in time, but simply put, I'm here because of Jessica. And we met back in 2014, actually, at the Corn Ferry Tour event at Crestview Country Club. We were a Tinder success story. I was in town for the week playing. I spent 3 years on the Corn Ferry Tour. It was the only year that I played the event in Wichita, and I ended up living here. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing just yet. We haven't gone through a winter here yet, so I'll let you know in a few months. But I love it here. You know, Jessica's got a big family. It's great to be around them during the off weeks. It's great for our daughter. And what I've come to learn so far. It's just a really good set of people here in Wichita. It's funny. I saw a post the other day on Instagram trying to describe what Wichita was like, and it's sort of this secret city, hidden gem here where, it's just a good Midwestern city with great people and lots to do. So I've enjoyed my time.
Adam, I was going to ask you about the winters, and I know that, you know, we're not in Minnesota. We're not in Canada, obviously, for some of the brutal winters, but it does get cold. It does snow. It does, do all of that. This will be the first winter that you guys are in Kansas, not, splitting time between Arizona and Kansas. What do you anticipate, for the golf game and getting ready for the season, the spring flight, of all the tournaments on the PGA Tour? What do you anticipate the winter being like now that you're going to be here in Kansas?
That's a very good question, and I am not sure what to expect just yet. I'm going to keep my mind open to any sort of possibility. Obviously, take advantage of any of those good days. I do remember we came back for Christmas last year, and it was, 63 degrees just before Christmas. So, take advantage of those good days when you get them. The other thing, luckily for us, is that, or for me anyways, is that I'm on the road most of the time starting January anyway. So to pop back during an off week and maybe take a rest from being on the road is probably not the worst thing in the world. So I expect to find a couple places to hit some balls during those off weeks indoors just to kind of stay sharp. But otherwise, just be at home, spend time with family, and be a dad.
Well, we'll lie to you and tell you that it's always 63 degrees in the winter here. It never changes. It's good. Just like Arizona. Adam, let's talk about your year last year and then going into this year. It always sneaks up on us, the start of these seasons. Great year last year. We're on the outside, obviously, but looking at it, watching, it felt like last year you really hit a groove. Did you feel that way? And how do you carry that into this year?
Yeah, at points. For sure. I felt last year was, there was a lot of good and just a lot of bad to me. I felt like it was a very inconsistent year. Obviously had some great results in some big events. Starting off in LA, played well at Memorial there in the middle of summer. And just, I felt like I put myself in a really good position to get back to the Tour Championship and sort of make it a really good year. And I didn't pull it together there down the last couple months. And, that left me off the President's Cup team. And so while I set myself up for another good year this coming year, next year, getting back into the signature events is always a big thing. I can set my schedule. I definitely felt like I left some things on the table, which I guess we always do every year. So.
Adam, what does the fall look like for you? Are you playing in any of the tournaments in the fall swing of the PGA Tour, or is it primarily just getting ready to go for 2025?
I'm going to play next week in Vegas. Okay. I did that last year as well. It was the only event I played, and likely will be the only event I play again this year in the fall. Otherwise, just getting ready for next year, just enjoying the time off. I felt like my body really enjoyed the extra couple months last year, and so I'm going to take advantage of that again. Just enjoying being at home, enjoying this fall weather here, and just kind of hanging out before everything kind of kicks off in January, because we really do, once January starts, we're kind of January through August pretty full on. So
Tommy and I need to, we'll go out and hit balls. Tommy's a better golfer. I'm a better beer drinker, at least self-proclaimed. So we can go have some fun out there, and we can have fun at Topgolf too. So a cool thing about y'all's event is you're hitting balls with us there, correct? Adam, that's you're out there swinging away with the rest of us.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I got to do some meet and greets and some kind of wandering around, spend some time with the first tee kids, but I do a Beat the Pro kind of in the middle of the event. And we've changed it up a little bit this year. Last year we had people buy into it. This year we're going to select 10 or 15 people at random that are at the event to come over and take a swing against me. And if you beat me, we got some prizes for you. And just trying to hang out with as many people as possible. As Jessica mentioned, this is year four for us, I think, now, or going into year four next year. And I mean, it really has been incredible, the support that we have gotten. You know, when you start up something like this, and especially with, you know, infertility, it's not a very publicized, highly talked about subject. And so you never quite know what's going to transpire. And we've been very fortunate. A lot of people have come forward to tell us their story. And we've been very fortunate to just get some amazing support within the community. So really looking forward to seeing everybody again in a couple weeks and hanging out with them.
Jessica, let's talk really quickly about the event and how people can be involved in it. I know you guys have some tickets left for people to come and watch everything, and you've been working really hard on the silent auction and a lot of the other cool things that you guys have going on at Topgolf this year. I know Jacob and I will both be there to take part in it, but just let everybody know about how they can be involved and what they can expect at Topgolf in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so we still have spectator tickets for adults, which essentially gets you the full food buffet, unlimited mini golf, the opportunity to get into the Beat the Pro raffle and go one-on-one against Adam, access to the silent auction, also access to a really awesome raffle prize that we have coming. So those are $50. We have a good handful of those still available for people that want to come. And then we also have tot tickets. It's essentially the same thing, but for kids, for $25 each. And the kids this year are going to have a costume contest that Adam will give the trophy to, and also some fun pumpkin decorating and mini golf. DJ for the Win is going to be there doing the beats for the party. So, yeah, the tickets we have left get you in the event and also a lot of goodies while you're there. And those can be purchased on our website, www.thehadwinfamilyfoundation.org. You can also find us on social media @HadwinFamilyFoundation. And yeah, just reach out if you want to get a ticket to that and join in on the fun.
Adam, Jessica, we really appreciate it. We're looking forward to the event. Tommy and I will both be there. Tommy doesn't want that smoke. We'll come up with a wager between the two of us, because I can't keep up with him on the real golf course, but I might be able to at Topgolf.
Hey, if so we're wagering who's going to have more shanks in the round, I think you're probably going to win that, buddy.
Yeah, we'll listen. I ain't scared. Adam's been coaching me silently for a while. Yeah, you didn't know that, but he has been giving me tips.
We can work on anything.
Okay. All right. It'll be fun. Get out there. There are tickets left. HadwinFamilyFoundation.com. Find them on social media. We love this event. Love that we've been able to make this connection. Adam, Jessica, we will see you guys soon. One more time on the date.
Yeah, it's October 27th, 1 to 4 p.m. at Topgolf in Wichita on Greenwich Road.
We will see you guys a few weeks from Sunday. Thanks for hopping on with us here on Sports Daily.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
There go Adam and Jessica Hadwin. Really cool event. Love that we have a Wichita now, Adam Hadwin, to follow on tour. That has always, to me, made the PGA Tour more fun when you just have somebody to follow on the event. Makes it a lot easier, if I think, for the casual golf fan. But really cool event coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. We do need to come up with a side bet here, Tommy.
We should.
Never do that. I don't even need a handicap, I don't think.
Here's the reason. Golf. Can I tell you the reason why I don't know if we should make a wager? I mean, I think it'd be fun, but you still owe me golf beers from a wager that I won months ago, and you've never cashed in golf.
I owe you the beers the next time we play golf. What do you think the realistic chances that the two of us in our insanely chaotic lives find 4 hours at the same time to go play golf?
It's funny because I don't think people who listen to this show frequently realize we rarely see each other in person. We're rarely around each other. Like, there was a point in time, like maybe the first year we did this show together, we maybe were around each other twice in person next to each other. It's better now. Like, I like you more now than I did then. Yeah. So it's easier difficult to get together. So
It is. But I still owe you the beers. That doesn't change. We just have to play the golf. But we can come up with something to do. I don't know what yet. But we'll come up with something at Topgolf, because I might actually be able to keep up in that world, even without a handicap. But that event's coming up the 27th, the HadwinFamilyFoundation.com. Check it out. You can still get some tickets and come have some fun. We'll be there. We're both supporting the event. So join us. Come say hi and talk smack. We love it. All right. Coming up in the next segment, we will be talking smack, because we will be making football picks. Paul Savage is in. TJ Cleland is in. I think Brandon Zenner's in. We got his picks. Jad's got the receipts. which for a change have been something I'm looking forward to. I think. I don't even remember who I picked last week, but I think it was good. Jad will tell us. We'll make those picks. Second hour coming up here on Sports Daily. Stick with us. On the way out, let's have our other Text to Win contest, HTO, some free iced tea, some free iced and hot coffee. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. They're good for any of the Wichita Metro locations. Good luck. We're coming back. Football picks next on Sports Daily.